Romans chapter 6, verses 1 through 11. This is Dead Men Don't Talk. As I prepare to read this, notice last Sunday we talked about two dominions, where Paul was talking about that sin reigned into death and condemnation, and righteousness into life and peace. Today we're going to talk about two masters, if you will, or two lives that we wind up living until we're in full harmony. And as I read this, then listen to the distinction, the polarities that Paul talks about, and you'll hear it as it goes through. Here's Romans 6:1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into His death. Therefore we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of His death, we shall be also in the likeness of His resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with Him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over Him. For in that he died unto sin once. But in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Would you pray with me? Gracious Heavenly Father, Paul wrote those words so many years ago, breathed through him by the Holy Spirit to us now. May the message that you have for us become clear now. May you speak, and we hear. And may we not only hear, but be willing to receive the blessed joy that comes from knowing that your word is for us here and now, that it can transform us and make us brand new. Heavenly Father, don't let us leave this place the way we came in, but help us to leave with the great blessing and message from your throne to our hearts. Enthrone yourself upon us now. Lord Jesus, speak now. Holy Spirit, have your way. And to that end, may the words in my mouth, the meditations in our hearts, and the thoughts in our minds be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord God, our strength, our rock, and my redeemer. Amen. I was reading a life story once about a man who felt like he was living parallel lives. Like inside, he was frightened and scared and insecure, but externally he was very successful. Lots of people liked him, lots of people respected and trusted him, and he was at the top of his field. No one knew the internal struggle in his life. And he said it took him until he was in his 50s before he ever got the two lives to come together. And what he said was that the old self, the internal self, had to die off, but he had to get honest with himself that it existed first, and that he had some serious issues to work through. And until we get to a level of honesty, those things remain like a part of you that you don't want anybody else to know about. And I want to tell you something, that when you hear someone's testimony or life story, the best part is hearing how much God changed them. Not what how their life was simple and God blessed them all the time, but you want to hear that God took brokenness and how broke it was, that there's hope for us too. Because we can say to ourselves, boy, I'm not that bad. Or we can say, boy, they had it tough and God did that. He can do it for me too. But we want to know that God can do the impossible with broken situations and make it into a blessing that others enjoy and that life is worth living. And this man finally came to the understanding that he had to forgive himself and all the things that he had done in his life and began to move forward finally. But he said it took some grace from several people in his life and from God, and he had to learn to do it for himself as well. Now the most difficult thing I think for us is that when we become born again or alive in Christ Jesus is we're on this balance. Kind of like what Paul says is we're not supposed to sin anymore, but we do. But we don't want to. And then on the other hand, we say, well, I don't want to, but parts of me don't know how to say no. We're still in the what they call the not yet. We're not what we were, but we're not yet what we're going to be. And so God is trying to form a new creation in us. The problem is that when we look at this passage in Romans 6, it talks about sin no longer has dominion over us, and we don't serve sin anymore. But if you look carefully, and you understand what he's really talking about, is that's the power of sin no longer has dominion over you. That sin can still run in your life, but it can no longer destroy you. It no longer has that authority in your life because you're under a higher authority. Amen? You're under Jesus Christ. Okay? So if you're under Jesus Christ's authority, sin's power doesn't have dominion over you, but it still seems to creep in those places where you're not there yet. And so it almost seems like you live parallel lives. And one of the most difficult things it has been for people who are unchurched or who drop out of church is that they see that the church would think badly of them because of the way they live. Not only that, but that a lot of people see the church as being a place where there's judgment rather than mercy. One person said, I'm not going to church. All them folks think they're perfect and they're not. And I said, well, one more hypocrite won't hurt. Come on. But you know, a church isn't about that. A church is about people who know they need grace and mercy and the love of God to restore, renew, and help them move from where they are to where God is calling them. You know, I believe if when I was about 12 years old and I got the call to Jesus Christ, if they threw me behind a pulpit and said, okay, you're there now, I would have kind of lost my mind. I wouldn't have known what to do. You see, I was in the beginning, but not there yet. In between, I had to grow up. I had to go to school. I had to finish high school, let alone seminary and all that other stuff. I had to go through all that process where God would mold me to prepare me for what He asked me to do. We're in this life an unfinished work. God has promised to work on us. The thing is when Christ enters into our lives and the Holy Spirit fills us and indwells us, is we now have something we didn't have before that, and that is the ability to say no to sin's power. We now have something within us called the Holy Spirit that keeps us in check if we'll live and walk in the Spirit. It keeps us tuned in. And again, the Holy Spirit is not going to force us to do anything. It's that still, small voice and at times a long and larger urging in our lives. But we still don't have to pay attention to it. We still got the old mindset saying, I got to do this. And the Holy Spirit nudging us, God is molding you this way. So it's almost like we have forces fighting against each other. But it's not. It's the grace of God trying to show us that God's way works. Doesn't always seem that way. What I think is interesting, especially in verse 3 and 4, he says that when we were baptized into His death. That means we die with Christ. And if we are buried into His baptism and death, then we walk in newness of life when we come out. That something is different. something has died. Well, I understand if something's dead, that it's gone. Unfortunately, in this situation, dead men talk. And that old self and the old life that God is born to redeem keeps trying to speak, as if you were, from the watery grave of baptism, from the watery grave of forgiveness. It keeps trying to drag us back into the mire, and we're not welcome there anymore. It just doesn't feel good anymore. We know that because when we belong to Christ, all of a sudden we have this uh-oh thing. You know, it's like those little two-year-olds and they spill something, they go, uh-oh. The Holy Spirit gives you an uh-oh. You start doing something before you didn't have a worry about, and all of a sudden you go, uh-oh, that doesn't feel right. Why is this bothering me? Why am I troubled about this? Before, I could do anything I wanted. That was what one person said to me. He said, I'm upset I'm a Christian. I used to be able to do whatever I want and not feel guilty. And you know what? It's because you only find peace when you walk in harmony with the call of God in your life. And Paul is talking about that, and he says that we are crucified. That verse just speaks volumes to me. That we are crucified with Christ. Something dies. We can't go back to it. It no longer has permission to run our lives. And God made sure of that in the cross. Now what I think is interesting is as Paul talks about this, it says that we need to be dead unto sin's power, but alive into Jesus Christ. In other words, we still have the opportunity in our mind to go either way. For some reason, and I guess this is a good thing, that when we're crucified with Christ, our memory still remains. I once said, I'm cursed with a good memory. Someone said, I'm cursed with a bad memory. I said, there's some stuff that I'd rather forget, but I can't. But I'm cursed with a good memory because I remember things and how it used to be without Jesus Christ, and I thought it was better. But I'm cursed with that good memory in the sense that it's wrong because it wasn't better. Because when Christ came in, life came in. And those other things served the law of sin and death, which was the old dominion. And the new walk with Jesus Christ serves the new dominion of righteousness unto life, justifying life. And I'm so thankful that Jesus Christ on the cross made the change in me. And each one of us who comes to Him and says, you have the power now to live a new life. In about 2 weeks in the message, I'm going to share with you how some of those things are gone now. And that depression and things like that no longer have dominion. I'll talk about that in 2 weeks, but I want to share with you that the most important thing is that Jesus Christ makes everything new. I don't know about y'all, but I make New Year's resolutions all the time. I made one, as a matter of fact, this last New Year's to lose 15 pounds. I'm real proud of myself. I only got 25 to go. I figure I'm doing pretty good. But what I'm trying to say is those things don't work unless you change your mindset and your life. And grace and love and forgiveness and mercy and baptism don't work unless you let God continue to change your life. It's not, I'm committed to this. I'm going to surrender to Jesus. Then my will is no longer mine. It belongs to Him. When you're surrendered, you don't call the shots anymore. But if you're just committed, or you want to apply some of your life to a principle, change doesn't happen. That's the old man, the dead man, talking again. Folks, when the Holy Spirit begins to talk, life changes. When we walk in the Spirit and live by the Spirit, we see that blessing is so powerful. and we begin to see that life is all about opening up to the blessing of God. When that happens, and this is what I like about this passage in Romans, is that Paul says when that happens, it seems like the old mindset slips away. It's like, I don't even know why I was thinking like that. Why I even thought that that was something that was worthwhile and some of my time. I share with you that God has a purpose for you. He knows what He's doing. He has a plan, and He understands you. And maybe you struggled with some of those parallel lives, if you will, where one part you can't share because you're afraid of judgment or criticism or ostracism, where people don't want to talk to you anymore. Well, God says those things are your testimony when you're healed. And He doesn't want you to forget them. He wants you to know how good it feels to be free from them. That it no longer has power over you. I know the most important thing that happened to me one day while I was working with a client in rehab. He said, as he smiled, he said, "You know what?" I said, "What?" He said, "You know, as a kid, all sorts of tragedies happened. Some bad people did some bad things to him and his body." And this is what he said. He said, "For 35 years, I've been enslaved. And I thought that would be my defining moment for my life, and it would run my life, and I was afraid to tell anybody. And," he said, "you know what? I'm free. It no longer has dominion over me. I have a chance to say yes to life now." In Jesus Christ, that's when it begins. This man walked in the door hating people, God, and himself. And when he opened up to the fact that there was grace, mercy, and forgiveness, he changed. And that dead man didn't talk anymore.